Welcome to the Cosmic Productivity Method, the podcast for high-achieving women who are done doing everything right and still feeling like it's never enough. I'm Chelsea Neumeyer, productivity witch, certified behavioral change specialist, and recovering type A good girl perfectionist. In this podcast, we stop running on autopilot, start creating time freedom that actually fits your life. Here, productivity isn't just about doing more, it's about doing what matters most. Using a blend of behavioral science, astrology, and human design, I help you break free from hustle culture and build a life that gives you time freedom, not just another to-do list. Each week, you'll hear unfiltered stories, cosmic insights, and practical experiments designed to help you reclaim your energy, rewrite your routines, and run your life like the masterpiece it is. Whether you're a Leo craving legacy, a manifesting generator breaking all the rules, or just a woman tired of checking every box but her own joy, this is your lab for redesigning productivity one aligned experiment at a time. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Cosmic Productivity Lab. I am so thrilled with the responses I've gotten so far on episode 1. Thank you all so much for your kind words and for all of the lovely feedback I've gotten. I can't wait to make a few more episodes for you all to binge. And my other big plan is to bring in some of the episodes from my past podcast just as reference material for you all. Those are a bit more heavy on the productivity, the procrastination and time management, like the nitty gritty logistical stuff. And I think that'd be really, really helpful to have as a reference for you all. So that's my big plan. But thank you all so much for being here. Before we jump into today's episode, I want to share this fun little astrology moment that just happened. So I'm recording this podcast episode at 8 p.m. Pacific time, and I just got a notification from the astrology app I use, which is a Channing app, C-H-A-N-I, and it said Mars is trining Neptune, creativity meet concentration, get your flow state on, and that is exactly how I feel right now. I was outlining this episode, and I just felt like I was in this really creative, great flow state. So perfect timing for you all. But today's episode is all about what I learned from my own productivity experiments. And this is really how I got to the place I am with my routines, with the rituals I have, with how I structure my day and my life. And admittedly, I didn't experiment in the way that I would coach and teach my students now. I had to back into and struggle through a lot to get to where I am today. And so I want to share that story with you all, because obviously I would want my students to do it differently and have an easier time than I did to get to where I am. So to go back to the beginning, I will say I have always been the person who loved productivity and my planner and making to-do list and organizing everything. I always had a notebook with me. I would make lists of just everything and organize all of my toys and my books. I was that girl. I was the eldest daughter to the max. Loved to plan, loved to set goals, loved to plan how I was going to get them. Dream big. Always had a big future vision of what I wanted my life to look like. Always had a very ambitious goal of what I wanted my life to look like. And that got me through college. I was very busy in college. I ran a bunch of clubs. I worked. I graduated with a bachelor's degree and 2 minors. And when I got out of college, you lose a lot of the structure you had in school. You lose the, it was a volume of work I had. And so one of the I wanted to replace instead was more time to work out. I wanted to get healthier, lose some weight, get stronger, all of those things. And I have always hated working out. I'm not a very coordinated person. It is not something that comes easily or naturally to me. I'm particularly athletic. And so this was hard for me. It was something that I struggled with my entire life to be consistent with and to enjoy by any stretch of the imagination. So I did what any naive person who wants to, and I say naive with love, but who anyone else wants to start a workout, you just say you're going to wake up tomorrow and work out. And maybe that's a go for a run or a walk, or you're going to start weight training, or you just join a gym and go to a class. You just start. But I always started too big. I always started with a 3-mile run when I've never run before. And between that and the fact that I didn't like it, the fact that I hated waking up early, the fact that I didn't know what I was doing, didn't have the right tools or resources to support me, meant that I spent many, many years going to bed saying, I'm not going to be a failure. Tomorrow, I'm going to wake up at 5 and I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to do the workout, and my whole life is going to change. It's going to be better. because it was never just a workout either. It was like, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be the person who saves. I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to not spend time on my phone. I'm going to not waste time. I'm going to do X, Y, Z. I had put this pressure on myself to do all of the things, reach all of the goals, stop quote unquote wasting time, which is in reality, was just resting, and become this whole new person in the morning. And then I did it. That's not realistic. So of course I didn't. Of course I overslept. Of course I stayed up too late. So I was exhausted. So I couldn't or didn't want to do the workout. And so then I was eating crappy during the day to make up for the energy I didn't have. You're just in that cycle. And I spent probably a decade or more in that cycle of beating myself up, of going to bed, beating myself up, thinking I was a failure, saying tomorrow I'm going to wake up a whole new person, and then nothing changing the next day. And going to bed, feeling like a failure, promising to be different or more disciplined. Eventually, I realized that accountability plays a big role in how I achieve my goals. And so signing up for a personal trainer when I could eventually afford it was a luxury that allowed me to be more consistent at the gym. And becoming a runner helped quite a bit because it was something I enjoyed and I could be flexible with when I got that done because I didn't have to show up to a particular time or a class or anything like that. So eventually I started to work through what works for me and made some progress in a lot of different facets of my life. And I always read the books. I read Atomic Habits. I read a bunch of productivity books. I read a bunch of books on managing your time and mindset. And none of them really stuck because I felt like I skipped a whole step on why we're even having those goals in the first place. Why do you even want those habits to be built? Why do you want your life to look or look a certain way or change? I feel like we just jumped in that you had already made the decision and I didn't know how to make the decision. When I moved to Guantanamo Bay at the end of 2021, my whole life changed. I moved to a different country. I was on a military base. I was away from my family. So many things changed. The biggest one, as it related to my workout, my habits, is that I couldn't run after work anymore. It was just too hot. We had multiple days over 100 degrees and the humidity was always 1,000%. So if I wanted to run, I had to do it in the morning. But I thought I was just going to get up and run. I went right back to the mistakes that I had been making for so many years and thinking that I was going to be a whole new person and things were going to change. And all of a sudden now, for no reason at all, I could start just wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go for a run. I tried that for months and I failed. But then I'd get mad because I wanted to go for a run and it was hot. And then I had a run when it was hot and it was miserable. And I would just do this cycle over and over again. So I don't remember the exact kind of pinnacle moment that it changed. But as I was figuring out this working out stuff, I also wanted to start doing more journaling. I wanted to start having a more kind of intentional, slower, grounding morning routine. And I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to read nonfiction more. I wanted to track progress in my business. But so slowly those things started to shape how my morning looked. And then I realized that I didn't so much mind waking up at five. I always said I was a night person. And quite frankly, I still am. I would always prefer to stay up late than wake up early. But I didn't mind waking up at five. I just hated getting up and working out. I needed a buffer. I needed time to actually wake up before I did my workout. And so slowly what started to happen was that I would wake up at five and I would grab a cup of coffee and I would work on my business. I would do my morning routine, which included reading a bit of the Bible. It included my kind of morning binder, which I do every year. The Unravel Your Year by Susan. I forget her last name. I'll link it in the show notes. She has this great workbook that she's been doing for, I believe, a decade now. And I would work through that. I would track metrics in my business and then I would do some journaling. And then I would work out. So by from five to six, I would do all that kind of stuff. I just had this like kind of quiet moment in my office with a cup of coffee. And then I would work out. I would take my dog for a walk to cool down. I would talk to my best friend on her commute. I would talk to my sister then on her commute while I cleaned up the house and get myself ready. And I could be at my desk by 9 o'clock for my job or for my business. And that was it. Like I did that for a year and a half, probably before I had my son. And this wasn't necessarily an intentional shift, but it was an experiment because I just kept tweaking things to realize that I didn't need to work out first. I could do my morning routine. The other big decision that I made was I decided why I was doing this all, what the intention was behind it. And if the intention was to feel grounded and organized and to clear my head and get my body moving, then quite frankly, it didn't really matter if I read 10 pages of the Bible or one. It didn't matter if I journaled for 15 minutes or five. I still got the intention of the activity. I still felt more grounded and more organized. I still moved my body. My workout could have been a 3-mile run or a 5-mile run. The point was that I got to move. If I finished my morning routine later in the day, all the better. But I didn't have to. But when I removed that pressure, when I made it not mean something, that I slept in a little bit and therefore couldn't do the full get up of the routine, I was so much more consistent with it because I enjoyed it more. I wasn't doing it to check a box. I wasn't doing it to show off to anybody. I wasn't doing it in a way where I could fail because that wasn't the point. The point was that I had these good feelings after I did it. I stopped making it mean something if I couldn't do it perfectly. And I celebrated a lot of the wins that I had. I celebrated this. I was so thrilled with myself that when I went to bed in the night, instead of feeling like a failure, I was like, holy shit, I'm still doing it. Like, this is great. I'm having a great time. I love this. So figuring out your true intentions and learning to listen to the why behind that goal. So I remember in a therapy session, somehow I was talking about running, and all of a sudden it hit me. Even just ask myself, do I actually like running or do I just want the medal? Do I just want the accolades? Do I just like telling people that I'm a runner? Because 90% of the time, the response is, oh, I could never. And I'd be like, I can. And it gave me that little touch of superiority that my Leo-ness love. And as I worked through that, I realized, no, I actually do really love running. And I don't run to, I'm not winning the races. I'm not competitive with it. So I just run, do it because I love it. But it was a good question to ask. And so I would encourage you to ask yourself a similar question about the workouts you're doing or the routines that you have set up. Do I actually like doing this, or is there some other reason that I'm doing it? I celebrated a lot of wins and I developed a morning routine that I was able to be consistent with for a very long time. Then I had my son at the end of 2023. And obviously that just tanks all routines and habits and rituals. You are just doing your darndest. You're just in survival mode for a while. And 2024 was basically survival mode. Nolan had a pretty traumatic birth in December, and we moved out of Gitmo in May. My husband went to school in Missouri. I lived with my parents in New York with Nolan for the summer, and we moved to Washington in October. So we were all just holding on by a thread. And quite frankly, I don't think I did my morning routine maybe a month cumulative, maybe a little bit more. But it was okay. I did the things I loved. I moved when I could. I journaled when I could, when I needed to. I still read a ton. So I was able to take the pieces of it. I was able to take the sentiment and still apply those even when I was in survival mode. And when I moved to Washington and we got settled into our new home and into the new routines, then I was able to pick it right back up. And I've missed days in 2025 because of just life. But I have been 95% consistent with my morning routine. That doesn't always mean it happens in the morning either. A lot of times I've been doing it before then because Nolan wakes up early, or I do it during lunch when I need a break away from my computer. But the routine and the actions are all still there. So all of this is to say, what I do now is work with my clients to help them build these routines and these rituals in a way that aligns with not only their life, but more importantly, with them personally. So we talk about their sun signs in astrology or their rising sign in astrology. We talk about their human design. And what was so fun for me is that when I started learning more about astrology, I've always loved astrology. Like, I was such a nerd about it as a kid, and it just fell off. And so I'm so happy I got back into it. And so as I started learning more about it, as I started doing more research into on a Leo and a Libra rising and a Pisces moon, as I started learning more about my birth chart and how I can apply these facets of who I am into productivity, into how I get things done, I realized so much of what I struggled into, if I had just looked it up 10 years ago, I would have saved myself so much trouble, because it is almost dead on to what I have struggled and backed into. What and says that as a Leo and as a Libra rising, I should be focusing on is exactly what I do now. So that was a really fun realization and reinforces why this is so powerful and so important for us. But I want to share some examples. For example, Leos need purpose and visibility. So we like to run because other people are impressed by it. We need that moment to be lit up, to feel proud of the work that we're doing, and to feel like the main character of our story, or it's not going to stick. But where this shows up for me is that ever since 2020, when we started working from home, I have always gotten dressed. Every single day I get dressed for work. Very rarely stay in my pajamas. I very rarely stay in yoga pants, quite honestly. I always get dressed. I always put makeup on. I always put jewelry on. And that's that moment. That's that spotlight moment that a Leo needs to feel seen and to be ready to show up on Instagram stories or to be called into a meeting. We are just ready to go. Leos also benefit from tying their habits to their identity. And I was actually just having a great conversation with my best friend about this, because it's not the same to say that I'm going to work out because I need to be healthy. Your identity is I'm a healthy person, and healthy people go for long walks. Healthy people choose big leafy greens over a piece of candy. That's a terrible example. No one should ever do that. But you know, we tie that habit to a core piece of who we are, because then we don't have to make a decision about it. If you're a runner, I am a runner, you run. And so we're not making the decision, oh, do I want to run today? That's very much a Leo thing too. It's in our benefit to have a very strong identity. And then we also track our progress publicly or beautifully. So this showed up for me because I love my morning routine binder. I set it up and it's so beautiful. And I have these great trackers and I use beautiful colored highlighter pens. And I don't overcommit to it because I don't want this to be something that has to be perfect or precious in that way. But I use a very visual tracker and I use a very beautiful binder that I've created. It is literally a binder. It's not a beautiful notebook per se, but I've made it something that I really enjoy interacting with. My Libra rising also supports this because Libras need beauty and ease and relationship to find that balance. So I redid my office recently and created a beautiful surrounding where I have less clutter, where I'm surrounded by my beautiful plants that make me so happy. And so that is very much a Libra rising thing, is making your space beautiful so that we are calm and can even we don't get sucked into the chaos of our surrounding. And that aesthetics applies to other anchors in our business or in our routines and rituals. And so then this is another one of those funny things where I just started doing it because it felt really good. And then I realized, oh, shoot, this is what Libras do. So for example, Nolan and I, in the mornings, I was lighting a candle. I would light a nice candle. I would put on this great Celtic witchy playlist in the mornings for us. And I would tidy up our space. I load the dishwasher. We just had these beautiful morning routines together. And I've been having fresh flowers in the house a ton because I couldn't get any in Guantanamo Bay. So now that we're in Washington, I've been having fresh flowers, not every week, but a lot of time. And I light a candle when I come into my office or I put on my diffuser. Those are such Libra aesthetic cues that we can use as an anchor. That candle is lit and my morning is started. Or the candle lit at my office and I'm in the zone. The beautiful flowers make me so happy. They brighten up our space. It just made me so happy to see that as a very Libra thing that I was already doing. And then that accountability piece that I mentioned way back from the beginning. Libras are social and very relationship driven. So they thrive in collaboration. So having someone to work out with, having a running buddy or a workout partner, or even just someone to check in with about my business and the progress I'm making there, I have a coach, are all very much the accountability that Libras thrive in. So all of this to say is my experiments were not as intentional as I teach now, but I don't want my students to struggle for as long as I had to, or to have to back into the success the way I did. My experiment right now that I'm working through is how I want to spend the time I have before Nolan wakes up. I rarely get this time.
So I already know that it needs to be something that can or cannot happen that I'm okay with either way. And I've been testing whether it's getting my cup of coffee and reading my book cozy, or working on my business, or getting ahead on my work for my full-time job, or doing some self-care, or just doing some admin organizational work to get ready for the day. I know I want to get something done, but I'm trying to decide if I prefer to get ahead so that for my full-time job, so that I can work on my business when I'm more awake in the afternoon, because the morning is not necessarily my best time for work, or vice versa, if I want to work on my business and protect that time. But that's the beauty of it, is I get to decide. And even if I make a choice, it's not set in stone. I could wake up in the morning really inspired and want to write a bunch of emails for my business or record a podcast episode. Or I could have a project that I just want to bang out for my full-time job and get it out of the way and use that time. Or I could be in the middle of my book and it's really freaking good and I just want to curl up with a cup of coffee and my blanket and read for as long as I can. My point is that I get to experiment with it and decide that based on how I'm feeling, based on how I wake up, I can honor that and use that throughout my day because I have such little expectations. If, for example, the opposite of this is that I said, okay, I'm going to wake up every day at 5 a.m. and I'm going to do work on my business. I'm going to write 3 emails and prepare 4 Instagram posts every day. And that was a rigid routine I set. And I wake up and I'm just not feeling it. Am I a failure if I don't do it? Or Nolan has a bad morning or a bad night and I want to sleep more, or he wakes up super early. Now I'm pissed at myself or at him for not following the plan. That's what I mean when I talk about productivity is personal, and we have to build routines that adapt to our lives. And I teach my students more than anything the good, better, best approach, which I'm going to talk about in the next episode. But my point is that you get to decide what those habits look like. But the intention is that I use this time in an intentional way. I use a time to make me feel organized, make me feel rejuvenated and excited and creative about my day. And so that might look different every day. But okay, I'm going to wrap up this episode by challenging you to think about a habit, routine, or ritual that you're going to experiment with and what you are experimenting with right now, maybe without even realizing it. What's going to best serve your sun sign or your rising sign? And what's going to help you align with your intentions and your goals? I would love to hear from you on Instagram. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for finding me on this new podcast and new venture. And I cannot wait to share my story with you all moving forward. All right, Cosmic Queen, that's a wrap for today's experiment. If you love this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Leave a review and tell the algorithm the world needs less burnout and more time freedom. If you want a little bit more cosmic productivity in your feed, I'm always on Instagram over at Chelsea N Coaching, stirring up experiments, routines, and a few spells for time freedom. I'll see you there.